This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Good afternoon, this is Runru on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Min Soon. Just last Saturday, when I was in a mall in the heart of the city, I heard a choir sing Christmas carols. 8 voices in front of microphones, and they sounded like a choir of 100. But a choir of over 100 will soon be cheering the season and at the same time celebrating its 60th year in existence. With me are Mervyn Peters, the guest choir conductor, and Cheryl Tay, the general manager of the Philharmonic Society of Selangor, that was founded in 1958. Mervyn, I've seen you with the Phil when I first joined, and then I've seen you in and out of different productions. What's your relationship with the Phil right now?
Nostalgic reasons. Well, I was with the Phil for about 12 years plus, actually, from 76 until 1990. I'm still a member, but I stopped doing productions then. I have been doing a lot of musicals. I mean, virtually every musical during that period. And it is a society where I really honed my skills, which for the future, in a sense. But after the 1990, I just went on to do more technical stuff. Putting to use the 4 months I spent in London with the British Theatre Association doing a lot of backstage work and lighting design. So after 1990, actually, I concentrated a lot on lighting design and with a lot of other companies. As well, I was technical director for many of the shows, for instance, that the Star brought in from overseas. So it's a whole different thing which completed to me my whole interest in theatre and music, which coupled then into further productions with the Actors Studio or with so many other companies.
Because you have been with it over such a long period, how has the Phil changed?
I think the idea or the way the Phil is running now, totally different from what it was before. And I can see that the change has actually kept the society going. Definitely.
What was it before?
Before I started, it was a very expat-orientated society. If you were not an expatriate, it would be difficult for you to join, as I was told. When I joined in 72, and I was told, you're not an expatriate, so I left the choir. And I came back in 76. And that's how it was. But, okay, we had auditions and so on. And our choirs were about 20, 30 big choirs, generally. But now, I know the whole concept is different, and I think it's a real plus. I don't think the Phil would have survived, really, if it didn't change its direction or its concept.
Cheryl, earlier you mentioned to me as part of the warm-up that when you came back, you participated in the Phil, but then you also organized a farewell end of the Phil era. But that turned around and something happened.
Yes, so about 10 years ago, I remember very clearly, vividly, there was a decline in membership and all that, and there was strong conversations about possibly dissolving the society. And because it's a registered society, we needed to have like an EGM and to say what shall we do with, you know, whatever monies we had and how to distribute it and everything. And then we said, let's do a farewell concert. And we said, okay, let's do that, you know. Go out with a big bang, you know, theatre style. So we put together a small show at Chorus Hotel. But it was very well received. A lot of people came for the show. And then later, those who were in the choir said, oh, you mean there's no more choir after this? Can we continue?
I guess when you were organizing this farewell performance, because of the declining numbers, then the choir couldn't have been very big.
No, we had, I think, I managed to put together like 30 people, you know, so a small number. Very different from the numbers we have today, which is about 120 people come regularly for choir today.
That event that's supposed to end the choir resuscitated the choir.
I think so, you know. And then I became the chairman after that. And I treated the society like it's a business and that needed to be turned around, basically, because I come from a business background, right? So I said, okay, to ensure it's continuity of the society and financial stability, we need to do something. We can't operate the same way we've been operating before.
Chiho has called this the mother of all choirs in Malaysia. So how has it changed from its early days beyond, you know, being expat-focused, now Malaysian-focused? How has it changed as a choir in terms of the composition of the kinds of songs you sing, the composition of the people, not in terms of ethnicity, but in terms of their ages?
Calling us the mother of choir, that was a very pleasant surprise for us. And I think in that context, when he said mother, I think it's also because if you look around you in the theatre scene today, you'll find that a fair number of people have at one point or another been a member of the Phil. Some point in time, they've done a show 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I think that's why we're considered the mother. In terms of choir, it's very different now because it's a non-audition community choir. It's mainly, we also focus a lot on older people now, the older generation. So giving them something to do, helping them find a voice, I like to think, you know.
Mervyn, you have also mentioned to me that you like working with people who can sing, but who cannot read music. What's the advantage there?
The advantage is that they are more open to change. I think I can put in what I want to hear as opposed to being told by somebody who reads music even backwards and say, oh no, it must be done this way. It must not be done in any particular way but the way of the person who's conducting. And that's how it is. You can mold people better. You can mold a song better.
But since you're working with what I would say senior citizens, how malleable are they?
You might be surprised, actually. I like to think sometimes we give them a second childhood almost, you know. There are a lot of older people out there, you know, empty nesters, and they're looking for something to do. And, you know, not everyone plays golf or tennis, or some of them can't do something too much physically, you know. So singing is good for health. It's something new that they can try. It really uses your brain matter, I think, because you have to remember lyrics, remember songs, remember your part.
What's the breakdown in terms of the age groups that you have for this choir?
Okay, I would think about 80% are above 55 years old. We at one point had some members in our about 85, 86 years old. He's not with us anymore. But we do have a lot of 70-year-olds with us. Of course, on the other end of the spectrum, we do have children who come with their parents. So it's very intergenerational as well. At one point, we even had a grandmother and a grandchild come together. And I think that's nice that they can join one, do a activity that bonds them as well.
Is there a specific focus to have senior citizens in your choir as opposed to more younger ones, or that younger ones are not attracted to this choir?
I don't think that's not to say they're not attracted to the choir. I think for some, we welcome everybody, basically, but we find the younger ones, they might want something more challenging, you know, something more physically challenging perhaps. But also with the younger ones, they're very busy at work. So we've had people join us and then go off because of career, go have their kids. And then once the kids are like teenagers, they come back. Because there's always a home here. It's always still family, no matter what, right?
Well, I think choirs, for me, it's a sound. In general, if you don't shout, if you sing, or you don't shout, irrespective of what age you are, it'll actually sound a lot nicer. And that is the thing I find, whether it's you're 70, whether you're 25. And I found a lot of young people I know nowadays in the productions I've done, the moment they open their mouth, they shout. And I ask them, why are you shouting at me? So that's the thing. It's how they sing. So when you are 70, it's how you control your voice. And you find, surprisingly, it can be very pleasant.
So there's no such thing as age limit to singing. Singing is something people can do all their lives.
Yeah. If you have a prime minister at 93, I think you can sing at any age, personally.
No, it's not. We all know that. I mean, as you grow older, well, your vocal cords do go. I mean, that's it. So you don't put them through songs which are very athletic in notes. You cater to them. You work around it. That's the only way to do it, actually.
What are the challenges for the choir moving forward?
I think keeping the numbers. Actually, sometimes we have a good problem. We have an intake in the beginning of the year. Sometimes we have more people than we can handle in this physical space. One time we had up to 180 people, and it's basically like, you know, cramped.
You have a huge space.
We do. And if you can imagine, everyone's kind of like a bit sardine packed here. I think because people, it's like a bit like member get member, right? When you come and watch your friends sing and you go like, hey, I can be in the choir too. And there's a very low barrier to entry, as I call it. More people want to join. I think it's great because it's healthy. So moving forward, we're also looking at ways to maybe expand our choir programs and maybe to expand it not just for singing, but to expand in like the arts, for example, with some acting classes or, you know, some movement classes. So we're looking at that moving forward.
What niche then does the Philharmonic Society of Selangor occupy when there are so many different choirs in town?
I think we have some staying power. We are 60 years old. We're also a non-profit. We have our own space. And I think we cater towards that particular age demographic where a lot of the other companies want younger people. Their projects are sometimes more focused on youths, younger people, or more serious actors, people who have experience. So for us, we're giving an opportunity for someone, you know, when you're 60 years old, hey, come and be a singer, come and be an actor. It's never too late to start learning something new.
Since I belong to that generation you talk about. And I am also quite aware that most things in Malaysia, as far as the entertainment industry is concerned, in terms of plays, in terms of musicals, they cater to the young.
Yes. I mean, like movies too. There are hardly any roles for anybody over 50 or 60. Very hard. But and I guess that's why this choir or the concept they have here will work, because there are a lot of people who have retired, on the point of retirement, who will want to come and do something. I mean, it's like me. When I was in civil service, I had a lot of free time. After four, I don't do anything, don't even think about the work. But I got involved in theatre and music. And the reason was because I said to myself, I have to retire at 55. I'm going to go and have to do something. I wasn't going to stay at home and read newspapers at all, like my father did. So I went and did all that. But fortunately, I also managed to get into other pretty good jobs at the end. You see.
I'm going to segue into talking about your concert. I'm speaking to Cheryl Tay, General Manager of the Philharmonic Society of Selangor, that Mark Chee Ho himself, a singer and music director, dubbed the mother of all choirs in Malaysia. She is with Mervyn Peters, who is the guest conductor of the choir's upcoming concert, Songs for the Season, Starry, Starry Night. This concert will take place on Saturday, December 1st and Sunday, December 2nd at DPEC, the Damansara Performing Arts Centre. Coming up, we will hear about this concert. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. With Christmas coming up in a month's time, performing arts group are helping bring in the cheer and celebrations. The Philharmonic Society of Selangor, affectionately known as the Selangor Phil, will be hosting a concert, Songs for the Season, Starry Starry Night, next weekend. Mervyn Peters is the guest conductor and Cheryl Tay, the general manager of the organization, and they are both here with me.
Who picked the program? Mervyn, you are the guest conductor.
Yes, I picked the program, definitely. After a lot of thought of how it should go, I don't think I had anything in mind as to the concept of the program. But I did want to do carols that you did not hear normally in church.
Silent
definitely.
Night.
No, not that. There is a reminder of Silent Night, which you have to have, but you just don't want to do it as a full song. Or what child is this and all that. So I want to pick carols that have different arrangements, and they continue from a little more serious to eventually a more popish style of thing, which would be, I think, more acceptable by the audience.
And these songs are sometimes from musicals themselves. Of course, I saw some things written about French references also to Mozart and Broadway music.
Well, the Broadway ones, the reference is to a couple of movies. Like we have I'll Be Home for Christmas, which was written for a movie. It was written in 1943, I think it was. The three French carols are really originally in French, but without having to say, pardon my French, we decided to sing in English. So here we went on to that. So, there's Wolfgang, and his pop trio is reminiscent of all his little pieces of music by Mozart, just that. It's just different. You don't hear them on the radio. You don't hear them when you're shopping. You don't hear them in the lift, thank goodness. So that's it.
For the audience, who formed the majority of your audience? There's the fact that you have a more senior, more mature group of singers, therefore you attract a more mature group of people who come to listen to you?
Not necessarily. I mean, of course, a lot of the people who come for the shows will be family and friends. And a lot of them are grandmothers and grandfathers. So, you know, you have a lot of the grandchildren coming to watch. It's in reverse, right? Normally, you go and watch your grandchild in a play. This time, it's the other way around. Let's go and watch Grandpa and Grandma sing. We also have a show on the Saturday afternoon, which is a relaxed performance this year.
Which means?
A relaxed performance is one that welcomes anyone and everybody, especially those on the autism spectrum, you know, that we're making a lot of conscious choices. Like, for example, the lights won't be completely off, the sound won't be very loud. That's also the concept where we allow babies and children to come, because some of the complaints we've had in the past that, oh, my 2-year-old can't come, my 3-year-old can't come. So we said, let's have one show where everybody can come and it's welcome. And those who attend that show will know that there might be, you know, a toddler crying next to you or, you know, something like that.
I think this is the third time only in Malaysia that I've heard of a relaxed performance. Is this something that, because you are the Philharmonic Society of Selangor, you feel that this is part of your obligation?
I think that because we want our choir to be an all-inclusive choir, right, that we should also allow the audience to be all-inclusive as well, you know, and do not discriminate. But of course, it would be very challenging to have all choirs like that, because some people still want to come for a concert where it's all quiet and everything. It's a conscious effort on our part. This is our second relaxed performance. We did one earlier this year. Very conscious on our part. And I think as the oldest music society, if I may say, in Malaysia, I think it's for us to also set, you know, to say, like, this should happen, this can happen, and hope that other people in the industry follow suit as well.
Because this is happening overseas, there's always a performance, a relaxed performance for those who are underserved.
That's right. Yeah, and of course, that's also the concert where we do have a lot of people who sponsor tickets and we give it out to others in our community. So we have about 8 to 10 different organizations coming. So from orphan children to special needs, that's the show we normally welcome them in. Yeah.
Mervyn, does that put some pressure on the conductor and the choir because it's a relaxed performance? Anything can happen?
I think it's going to be fun because I've also been used to this during my time then. Our performances like this was opened during dress rehearsal, a full dress rehearsal before opening night. that's where we invited the underprivileged children and anybody. So this is nothing new. Of course, there's now going to be different. Well, we just go along, you know, enjoy, because this is going to be the best audience you're going to have, you know, seriously.
Because if they don't like the music, they will just tune off. They're not necessarily polite and put up with whatever. They are either engaged or they're not engaged, and they are very honest.
Yes, they will be very honest. So,
do you have to tell your choir members anything differently?
No, I just tell them, go out there. You know what it's going to be. They're obviously not new to this. Then you just continue doing what you do on stage, and you smile, and you take it with you. That's it.
I think the relaxed performance, we've had them in the past. It's been one of the best performances for the members, because I still remember one time we had a group from the autistic children come in, and the way they interacted with us, you know, and the choir members were so happy. It's like, you know, we're singing to this audience that really love what we're doing, and they find it so meaningful. And after that, I remember choir members coming up to say, like, they were in tears, of course, by that time. They said, it was really hard to sing when you're in tears, for starters. But they said, you know what, it makes all those months of rehearsals, all those hours of rehearsals really worthwhile, that I can contribute my voice to this, yeah.
I know your concerts, you sell tickets, and your choir members all volunteer, so they don't get paid. So what do you do with your money? I know you support charities. Who are the beneficiaries of this concert?
We have many beneficiaries. For this year, because it's our 60th anniversary, we have committed to giving away 60,000 ringgit to various charities, either in cash or in kind. So during our upcoming show, we'll have two of the beneficiaries coming to receive their checks as well.
You are not going to tell us.
We're not going to tell you who they are at the moment. Yeah, also because I can't remember. But like earlier this year, I think we gave money to like people like Hospice Malaysia, SESOA is one of them, just various initiatives, but more in line with what we're trying to promote as well, either mental health related or autism related, you know, those sort of societies, yeah.
This is concert number what for 2018?
Oh my God. We had our major concert, so we would have had four concerts then, and then we also had a performance in Ipoh and one concert in Malacca, so that's six performances. Then we had a whole weekend of music and laughter with our guest conductor from Australia, so that's kind of one concert there, so that's what, seven. And then for this show, the upcoming songs for the season 2018, we will have four shows coming up. Yeah.
Well, thank you all very much.
You're very welcome. But I just want to add a thing. For me, getting into this concert or being involved with it, it's really very nice. I mean, having been a member of the field for so long, or a long time ago at least, and looking at Cheryl, who's done this, and knowing that the first time I knew her, she was a teenager playing the violin. Oh, God, I feel old.
We all do.
Yeah. I'm also feeling old, but yeah, maybe slightly younger than you guys. Thanks very much, and I hope to see more people coming to the show.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Cheryl Tay, General Manager, and Mervyn Peters, Guest Choir Conductor, Philharmonic Society of Selangor. The choir will be holding its end-of-year songs for the season 2018 Starry, Starry Night, and celebrating its 60th anniversary at DPAC. Performances start Saturday, December 1st at 3 p.m. with a relaxed performance, intended specifically to be sensitive to and accepting of audience members who may benefit from a more relaxed environment, including, but not limited to, those on the autistic spectrum, anyone with sensory and communication disorders, or learning disabled people. There is also a performance that evening at 8 p.m. and two on Sunday, December 2nd at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. For these performances, only those 8 years old and above will be admitted. Tickets are priced at 60 ringgit and proceeds will go to charities. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.